All right. Hello, Harmony Church. How are you? You all look good. I mean, you know, we all have these masks on, but you know what? If you could, for a minute, I know, if we could just stand up for a second, and I know I'm not practicing what I'm preaching, but it's because I'm playing the piano, okay? But if we could just, for a moment, if you would, just close your eyes. I'm gonna pray. God, thank you so much that we have this opportunity to come into a place of worship, to give our love and our affection to you. And we just ask that as we sing these songs, as we are in worship, God, we just ask that you would remind our hearts of your goodness, remind our hearts of your grace and your mercy that you give to us. And we just say, we thank you, we love you so much, and would you be in our praise? In Jesus' name, amen. Water, you turned into wine. You opened the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. There's none like you. And into the darkness you shine. And out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. There's none like you, oh no, no. See, our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, yeah. Sing water. Oh, water, you turned into wine. You opened the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. Oh, God, there's none like you. And into the darkness you shine. And out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. There's none like you. Oh, and our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, sing that again, our God. And our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, yeah. Oh, you're greater, God. For us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? Yeah. What can stand against us? Yeah. One more time, sing, our God is greater. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, sing this with me.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, and you restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. Sing it again and say, you give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, and you restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord, oh yeah, for it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, and so we darkness, you give hope, and you restore every heart that is broken. Oh yes you do. And great are you, Lord. This will be our song forever, God. Great are you, Lord. Great is your love, great is your faithfulness, God. Yeah, yeah. Great are you, Lord. In
great are you, Lord. Oh, great are you, Lord. Yeah, yeah. And all the saints and angels, they bow before your throne. Their crowns before the Lamb of God, and they sing that you are worthy of it all, Jesus. You are worthy of it all. Yes, you are God. Far from you are all things, and to you are all things. God, you deserve the glory. And all the saints and angels, they bow before the throne. Yes, they do. And all the elders have their crowns before the Lamb of God, and they sing that you are worthy of it. Oh, oh, you are worthy of it all. Yes, you are. Far from you are all things, and to you are all things. Oh, God, you deserve the glory. Sing that one more time. Say, you're worthy of it all, God. You are worthy of it all. Oh, far from you are all things, and to you are all things. God, you deserve the glory. Oh, yes, you do. Far from you are all things, and to you are all things. God, you deserve the glory. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Far from you are all things, and to you are all things. God, you deserve the glory. Holy, 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 oh, you are the Lord. Oh, oh, holy, holy, holy. You are the Lord.
God, we thank you so much for your presence. We thank you so much that when we give you our love, it's not a one-way street. That you've loved us so radically, loved us so abundantly. And we thank you that in this moment, as we stand here and sing, that we can freely love you and freely receive your love.
I know that there are angels.
as we are standing in God's presence on holy ground. I know we are standing in God's presence on holy ground.
Well, good morning, and welcome to Harmony. If you are here joining us in person today, we are so glad that you are able to join us on campus in person for this worship experience. And if you're joining us online, we're glad that we're able to connect with you from afar as well. And especially for those of you online, we're going to put a QR code on the screen, and if you're able to scan that, it helps us to know that you're here to connect with you, get your information to our pastor and our staff so that we can engage with you as we go throughout this week, this month, and this year. And for those of you who are connecting with us remotely or in person, we have a lot of great ways to connect with the Harmony community. One is coming up tomorrow night for parents and guardians of children, those with kids any age, but especially middle school and under, as we have our first Bible study for parents. That's tomorrow at 7 p.m. on Zoom. And then 1 week from tomorrow, we'll have an opportunity for anyone who's interested in learning more about the gift of creation and how God has trusted us to take care of it, also at 7 p.m. on Zoom. And we hope you'll be able to join us for that opportunity to connect as well. If you are looking for ways to connect beyond being here, being in study, there are ways to serve as well. You can serve through our Tongan Relief Fund that our conference of the United Methodist Church has put together to assist those who were devastated by the effects of the recent volcano eruption. You can also participate in a worship service. You can email Mark at HollywoodUMC to get involved. There are ways to volunteer with our kids, and we're going to learn about that shortly. But first, Gaddison is going to talk to us a little bit about how you can get involved in the new and exciting worship opportunities beyond just making music on Sundays, but all of the creative ways that we can engage God. So we'll leave it to Gaddison.
Awesome. How you guys doing? You feeling good? Okay, I'm feeling good. So I am really excited. As many of you know, my first Sunday was last Sunday. I'm just so blessed to be a part of this community. And a part of what I'm here to help with is to help with the worship department. And I am so excited about this. I'm very passionate about worship. I'm very passionate about the creative arts expressed in worship. And so if you are a creative, if you are a dancer, if you're a painter, if you're a spoken word artist, we have writers in here. I've talked to some of you, but I would love to talk to all of you, all the creatives out there. If you are an administrator, that would be, and you want to be involved in the worship department, that would actually be really good because, you know, sometimes creatives, we're a little creative. So if you're an administrator and you want to help out in that way, please let me know. Also, behind me, you'll see a QR code that you can just go ahead and put your phone up and take a picture. If you want to see me after service, I'll give you the QR code, and then there's basically a form that you can fill out. You can kind of tell me about what your gift is, and then I will set up a Zoom meeting with you so that we can talk a little bit more about what's happening. And lastly, February 6th, which is next Sunday. After service, I'll be kind of casting some vision, letting you know the exciting things that are happening in the worship department. So please bring your creative self and also bring a buddy, okay? Thank you.
One of the things that I love about a time of reflection and a time of meditation is that it allows us to get back in touch with ourselves, but it also allows us to get in touch with the presence of God and how that presence is speaking to us at that and at any given moment. Lecturer and writer John Philip Newell has written passionately about being in and recognizing the presence of God, wherever we are, in whatever we are doing, and that God is there to speak to us if we are willing to listen and we are willing to receive that message. And so I would like to invite you to experience a time of meditation. If you are comfortable where you are seated, I would invite you to close your eyes. If you would like to just soft focus and gaze downward, you can do that too. There's no right or wrong. And we want to center our awareness on our breath. We sang this morning the Christ presence breathing through us. So allow your breath to just relax you, to center you. You're breathing in, you're breathing out. I would say if your mind wanders, but I know that when our mind wanders, we just simply bring our awareness back to our breath and allow that to be our focus. And so as we rest in this moment of stillness, I want to ask you, how is your soul today? What is going on with you this day? Just breathe into that connection of your beautiful soul, your being that is a divine creation of God. And as you breathe, in gladness and in safety, say, if you wish, these words softly to yourself or silently. May I be at ease. May I be safe and well. May I feel unconditionally loved, guided, and protected. May I be healthy and strong. May I feel the pulse of divine creation filling me with renewed life. May I be at peace. Just rest with that as you breathe. Feel the presence of God. Feel the heartbeat of God right where you are. And let us continue in gladness and in safety. May I and all beings be at peace. May I and all beings everywhere be safe and well. May I and all beings everywhere feel unconditionally loved, guided, and protected. May I and all beings everywhere be healthy and strong. May I and all beings feel the pulse of divine creation filling us in community with with renewed life. May all beings everywhere be at peace. In this moment, feel the light of the Christ presence right where you are, knowing that you are never alone. You are never alone, for that divine presence is forever with you. And know that going forward, that at any moment, you can turn within, and in doing so, feel the love, the blessing, the guidance, the grace, and the peace of God, who loves you unconditionally. When you are ready, I would invite you to bring your awareness back into this room and to open your eyes if they've been closed, and to know that who you are at this moment, having connected with God in meditation, in this moment is not who you were when you began this meditation. For God has blessed you and changed you. So may you go forward in peace this day and always. And together we all say, Amen.
All right, good morning, everybody. Now that everybody's super calm, I'm here to tell you a little story. When I was really little, my family and I went to church every Sunday, of course, and every Sunday they would come around with the big baskets on long poles. You know what I mean? They didn't pass a plate. No, no. They came with a big basket on the long pole, and the elders of the church would come over and look you in the eye. Be like, you gonna put it in there? Right? And my mom, being the good Christian she was, always had her envelope ready, right? So that there was no problem, no talk, no chatter in the back of the church, and no shade from the elders with the basket, right? So one Sunday, they come around. My mom puts her offering in the basket. But they didn't come around one time. They came around twice. So the second time they came around, my sister, who is a small child, you know, at this point, when they put the basket in, she reaches over and goes, "Ha, psych," and drops nothing in the basket. I think flames shot from my mom's head that day. Flames! Literally, she was so upset with my sister. I think she's still upset with her to this day. So the one thing about Harmony that I love is they don't do that, okay? They don't give my sister the opportunity, is really what it is. What we have instead here is the Joy Box. It is a box in the back of the room where you can, if you are so moved to do so, place your offering in that box. We also have ways you can give besides the Joy Box if you're not here. You can scan to give, you can text to give, you can go on the website to give, you can give by regular old mail. We just want to make it easy for you. The only thing that we ask is that you don't do what my sister did and fake us out. You know what I'm saying? And that you give with.
A reading from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. The translation is from the New Revised Standard Version. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to a synagogue on the Sabbath day as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. Thanks be to God. Amen.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, love. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Oh yeah. And your presence, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. And your presence, Lord. See, I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Yeah, it's in your presence, Lord. Yeah. Oh, and Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, and come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. And your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. It's your presence, Lord. Oh, so let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence, God. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness, Lord. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Amen, amen. Hi, everyone. It's great to be with you today. My name is Kathy. I pretty much hang out over at the Hollywood campus, but I am glad to be here when Pastor Mark and I do a switcheroo on occasion so we can both preach at both campuses and have some time with you. And welcome to those joining us online. We're glad that you're with us today, too. I thought I had one of my stoles, which I typically wear when I preach, at home, and I turned out I didn't. It's over at the campus, and I didn't go get it. But it was one that was commissioned for me when I did a wedding for a couple who used to come here when we had services in the afternoon. This is a long time ago. It's a beautiful red and white stole with the Kansas City Chiefs logo at the bottom of it. If they win today, be sure I will be wearing it on February 13th. I know that God doesn't care who wins a football game, but I sure do, so I'm just going to say. Well, as we face the seemingly never-ending midst of COVID, there are other issues that we're talking about that Jesus would likely have something to say something about. In this series, we talked about what Jesus would say about me. Pastor Bridie talked about what Jesus would say about women. In general, Pastor Mark talked about critical race theory last week and what Jesus would say, which leaves us today considering what would Jesus say about the church? What would he say about the church that is celebratory? And what would he say that would cause him to weep? I don't know why this thing is slipping, but it is. Well, let's remember where it all started, even before the day of Pentecost, which we consider the birthday of the church. It was on Easter evening when the disciples were rejoicing over the resurrection of Christ that Jesus gathered them together and gave them their directions. So the Father has sent me, so now I send you. Matthew records Jesus giving them the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. St. Paul reminding the fledgling church in Corinth that it is the body of Christ, the embodiment of God in the world. In his letter to the Corinthians and to the churches at Ephesus and Rome, Galatia and Philippi, Paul stresses the importance of us as Christians being in the world but not of the world, of not quarreling among ourselves but being an example for others so that they might see Christ through us. Paul writes that we are to rejoice in the Lord always and that there is no Jew nor Greek, no man nor woman, no slave nor free. We are all one in Christ Jesus. This is who the church is called to be, a living witness to the love of God in Jesus Christ, in which all are welcome. So what would Jesus say about this church today? And for definition's sake, yes, I'm talking about the church universal, but mostly as seen through Methodist lenses, as I'm a Cradle United Methodist, as well as those of our two congregations. First, I think Jesus would say that at its best, the church gets a lot of things right. At a congregational level especially, we show up for each other. When one among us is hurting, we knit prayer shawls, we bake casseroles, we organize prayer chains, we provide respite for caregivers, visit shut-ins, take care of the children, and sometimes we simply sit and be present with one another. When COVID hit, we showed up for each other in new ways. We went online quickly and effectively. Our first service was a joint service that we broadcast right here in this space. So many people volunteered their time and their talents to ensure that we would continue to have meaningful and excellent services of worship, and we're grateful to our AV and music staff at both of our campuses. So many people sacrificed their time and they selflessly gave of themselves so that we could meet the moment and continue to be the church in a new form online. What would Jesus say about the church? The church gets it mostly right on a systemic level when it comes to showing up. Part of our regular giving supports the infrastructure of UMCOR, the United Methodist Committee on Relief, so that when disaster strikes, they can respond, and we can know that 100% of our giving goes to the people who are experience a need, because the administrative part, it's already been paid for. As the Hollywood congregation, prior to this campus coming into being, we sent 5 teams over 5 years to Waveland, Mississippi after Hurricane Katrina. We sent another team to New Jersey after Sandy. And because he led those teams, Pastor Mark has been invited to be part of the Tongan response team from our annual conference to determine how we can best be of assistance to the Tongan people and their churches, many of whom have relationships with our conference's Pacific Islander churches. I think Jesus would say the church gets it right when we work for the values of God's kingdom, of justice and righteousness for all God's people. Over the years, Christians in general and the United Methodist Church in particular have been advocates for social justice, for an end to slavery, for women's suffrage, for temperance during Prohibition. Probably not the most popular stance, but there you go. I heard some amens, okay. For civil rights, for voting rights, for an end to Jim Crow laws, for an end to child labor, for environmental justice, for an end to nuclear armaments, and for diplomacy and peace in our world. As a congregation, we have been fierce advocates at both campuses for an end to homelessness. The reason the curve around the Hollywood campus, which is one of the 2 busiest intersections in all of Los Angeles, the reason that curve no longer has encampments is because A, the city council action, and B, we moved the city council to act, to say, the people who are living there, who are eligible for housing, you need to house them now. Amen. And the people who were there causing mischief and mayhem and were just bad actors causing our children, when they came on the campus for school, or the Oak School is there, K-6, to say, Mommy, why is that person not wearing any clothes? Those bad actors, they needed to be dealt with. And so the city council did act, because we advocated. So what have I described this for? The church gets it right when it seeks first and foremost to be the kingdom of God on earth. The church gets it right when it acts as the hands and feet of Christ in this broken and hurting world. The church gets it right when it puts the needs of others above our own. The church gets it right when it acts and it loves like Jesus did. And it connects first and foremost with those who are the least and the lost, the marginalized, those who have turned away from God for any number of reasons. And what is the main reason that folks have turned away from God? Why the category of none, N-O-N-E, is the greatest religious affiliation, especially among young people today? The main reason is the church itself. I think Jesus would say that at its worst, the church gets way too many things wrong, and he weeps over the way the institution that was created to worship him has brought pain to so many. John Pavlovitz has a new book entitled, If God is Love, Don't Be a Jerk. And he writes about some of the things that the church has gotten wrong in so many ways, and he centers it in bad theology. One passage says, growing up, I can remember praying to a God who spoke light and shape into being and numbered the very hairs on my head. A God who fully adored me, but whose anger was never very far away. I knew I was loved completely, as long as I didn't screw it up in the infinite number of ways it seemed possible to do. Stealing, lying, listening to Ozzy Osbourne, voting Democrat. As a result, I often pray, to whom shall I fear while being rightly terrified? I needed to rescue people from eternal torment before God came again to judge me and all humankind. And that was a tall order for a first grader. But then he says, nearly half a century later, I'm still carrying the remnants of these ancient relics around with me. Now, Pavlovitz writes of this kind of theological harm. There are other ways that the church has not lived into its mission as the body of Christ. For example, I believe Jesus weeps over the way too many clergy in all denominations have been sexual predators among young people and have caused them irreparable harm. And in too many cases, the church remained silent and complicit. That said, the incidence of clergy sex abusers in the United Methodist Church is far lower than in other faith traditions. Why? It's largely attributed to the presence of women clergy who have insisted on accountability at all levels. Now, there are things that adult clergy women have to deal with, like misogyny and lack of pay and appointment equity, but that's another sermon for another day. Jesus also weeps over the racism that continues to exist in the church. The most recent and egregious happening last week, the WCA, which is the conservative movement within the church that wants to keep all of the prohibitive language in our book of discipline that guides us, that limits, it's based in human sexuality. They tried to pay for vaccines for delegates to General Conference from African developing countries to come, presumably so then they would vote their way when the church meets again at General Conference. The Central Conference bishops, which are mostly in Africa and the Philippines, issued their own statement denouncing the actions of this conservative group. And they said, in part, "We are appalled by the actions of the Wesleyan Covenant Association regarding vaccinations. The WCA has decided to raise funds to assist some United Methodists, mostly in Africa, with getting vaccinations for the sole purpose of making sure these Methodists who are delegates to the postponed General Conference would be able to travel to the United States. While we understand that vaccines are not easily accessible to all people in many parts of the world, we are dismayed that the WCA would choose to help provide vaccines to only a few people and not the community as a whole. If the WCA's motives are pure, why not provide vaccines for the entire family of that delegate or the entire church or the community in which the delegates lived? Offering vaccines to General Conference delegates or covering the cost of delegates to travel to places where they can be vaccinated is not an expression of vaccine equity. Rather, it appears as an attempt to benefit those who have been given a special responsibility and who the donor wishes to fulfill a certain purpose." And I didn't print out page 2 of that. But then they talk about the remnants of colonialism and how this is simply another part, another chapter in that same book. In spite of how bad that is, and it's bad, I mostly think that Jesus weeps over the church's obsession with human sexuality at the expense of just about everything else. Here's the thing. Jesus doesn't care who we love. Jesus only cares that we love. Amen? And yet, we Methodists have spent the past 50 years, count them, 50 years, arguing whether or not the church should exclude people based on their sexual orientation or gender identity. The quick answer is no, we should not. I cannot count the number of people who have sat in my office over the years who are gay or lesbian and who have been crying saying, "Does God really love me, Pastor? Does God really love me? Because the church I grew up in told me I'm not worthy." Wanting to know if they really could find God's grace in their lives. And I sit and I wrestle and I weep with them. And together we try and unpack the distorted theology that they were taught as a child or a youth, young adult. That bad theology that told them if they were not a cisgender heterosexual person that God would never love them. I can't think of anything that would cause Jesus to weep more, except that those forces of exclusion and judgment have brought us as a denomination to the point of schism, which will undoubtedly cause more and more people to say, huh, you mean they call themselves Christian? Not for me, thank you. And Jesus weeps, and so do we. Now, we don't know when the General Conference will meet next to make these decisions. I have zero insider trading information, but due to the Omicron variant and the dearth of vaccines available worldwide, I do not believe it will meet as has been scheduled for this August. So what does that mean for us? What are we going to do in the meantime? What will we do today? We're going to continue to be the church that welcomes and embraces all people. And by all, we mean all. No matter who you are, no matter whom you love. We will continue to love each other imperfectly, care for each other clumsily, and offer one another grace for the journey. And we will not forget the mission that we are called to. In the gospel lesson from Luke, we find Jesus in his hometown of Nazareth. On the Sabbath, at church, he's handed a familiar scroll from Isaiah, which he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And everyone looked at him. And he said, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And what did the people in the synagogue and the neighbors in the town threaten to do to Jesus in response? They said, "We're going to throw you off a cliff." You see, Jesus knew the Spirit was upon him to set forth his mission, which he has now commanded us to continue. Offer good news. Offer release and sight. Proclaim that this, in spite of the pandemic, this is the year of the God's favor. Today, not when COVID is over, not when things get back to normal, because they're not going back to normal. And to that I say amen. Today is when we, the church, commit to the unfinished mission that Jesus has given us. Today is when we commit to doing more of the work that reflects the Jesus that we know and we love, the Jesus that bids us love God and one another above everything else. Today is when we say we are going to live into being the body of Christ in this world, healing those who are wounded, offering hope to those who are hurting, and rejoicing that there are those out there who would throw us off a cliff for that, because we are committed to loving one another. What would Jesus say about the church? "So the Father has sent me, now I send you. Your work is not finished. Go out there and get it right, because I am with you always." Amen.
All right, we're going to sing one more song. If you guys can just stand up on your feet for this last one. And if you can just help me by putting your hands together, okay? I'll try to show you as I play the keyboard, but you got to take it from there, okay? All right, here we go. Oh, yeah. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The Lord of glory. The Lord above all things. Yeah, keep it up. You guys are doing great. Come on. Hey, hey. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The Lord of glory, the Lord above all things. Here we go. This
into order, who makes the orphan a son and daughter, the Lord of glory, the Lord above all things. Oh, yeah. Who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance, the Lord of glory, the Lord above all things. Come on. Oh, this is amazing grace. Woo! This is unfailing love. Yeah. That you would take my place. Yeah. And that you would bear my cross. Oh, you would lay down your life. That I would be set free. I sing for all that you've done for me. Oh, and worthy is the Lamb who was slain, and worthy is the one who conquered the grave, and worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Oh, worthy is the one who conquered the grave, and worthy is the slain. Yeah, worthy is the one who conquered the grave, and worthy is the one slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. This is amazing grace, and this is unfailing love, and that you would take my place, and that you would be. I sing for all that you've done for me, yeah, yeah.